Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Consensus. I'm your host for today, Gabrielle, and right now we are honored to be joined by guests Timothy Reese, Associate Chief Nurse Operation, as well as Dr. David Green, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery, and Quentin LaCour, SBS Sensitrack Coordinator. Gentlemen, welcome and thank you for joining us on today's podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, congratulations on winning the Trailblazer Award at CTUC Connect 2023. We're very excited to talk to you all about just the innovative projects you've taken on that won you the award. So first things first, let's go ahead through introductions. So starting with you, Tim, let's go ahead and just a brief intro, name, title, a little bit about what you do in the industry.
Thank you. I'm the Associate Chief Nurse for Operations at Michael Eaton Bakey BA Medical Center, and I have a role of oversight of sterile processing services here at the facility. Been working here about 7 years, working closely with Dr. Green and with Super Quentin down there.
Awesome. And Dr. Green?
Yeah, Dr. David Green. I'm the Deputy Chief of the Operative Care Line and Chief of Orthopedics and Podiatry. Obviously, a role is mostly orthopedics, but also just the entire operative care line and roles related to just the management of the OR, the clinics, and such. I'm also an associate professor at Baylor College of Medicine and site director for our residency at our local BA, at the Michael E. DeBakey BA, for the residency, for our sports fellowship, and for our joint fellowship program.
Thank you. And Quentin.
Yes, ma'am. Quentin LaCour, like he said, I'm a Navy vet. I've been here since 2016. Started out as a regular technician, and then I became a trainer, in which I did that for 2 years, and then I became the assistant trip coordinator, on which I hold that position now, tracking all our instrumentation, trays, sterilization records, anything you name it. And Mr. Reese is like the guru of assistant trainer. Hand in hand.
So to start off, we're going to talk a little bit about loaner process optimization. So can you tell us just what the loaner process was like before implementing your strict policy updates?
We had a system where we were receiving the majority of our loaner sets well before 48 hours before the case. And our policy for the VHA was to receive the loaner sets more than 48 hours before the case. This was a challenge for us, and the resulting issues were that we were having to hurry on the reprocessing, and oftentimes having some issues with wet sets from overloading the sterilizers in a rush to get them done. And we were having obviously very dissatisfied customers in the OR, and we had findings from our surveys with our regional VISN office and our national office from the Veterans Health Affairs for not meeting those standards. And we were having challenges in trying to get those standards enforced, and there was a lot of conflict between the vendors and SPS, and though the OR and the surgeons were trying to get the vendors to comply, it really was a push-me-pull-you challenge for year upon year upon year. And it just didn't seem like it was a resolvable issue.
Yeah, from the operative care line, obviously I deal with the vendors quite a bit. They're important for us to supply our instruments and implants. And, you know, yes, one of the things you have to realize, this is a VA mandate for 48 hours. The rest of our city in Houston, no other SPD requires a 48 hour. So it's tough. The vendors are not used to it from other hospital settings. The other thing that's important is that you know, SPD did not know if there were loaners coming in for that case or not prior to. So, you know, we have a case, we're talking with the vendors a week prior to make them know what cases we have for the following week. But that information is SPD wasn't aware of. So they only see a case usually the day before and what they need. So there was a disconnect between, you know, the service line and SPD as far as what are we expecting to be brought in. So that was another major issue and stumbling block that we had is that, you know, they didn't know what was coming in, and they weren't even certain what was loaners versus not, even after the case. So, you know, there was a lot of, you know, not tracking those trades as well as we could. So trying to really get a system in place that would to help alleviate a lot of those issues. So it was more than just the 48 hour. There was a lot of other confounding factors that were happening around it also.
And the other thing, and on top of that, was we didn't know truly even the surgeons or SPS know whether the trays had really been ordered or not. And there was the perception on the staff surgeons' mind that the trays had been ordered, and generally those were ordered by one of the chief residents, and that wasn't always the case. So sometimes the sets would have to be ordered the day before the case, and that really made those sets really late. And some of those sets, we can get, you know, 20, 25, 30 sets for a single case, and that makes it a big deal when we get a number of sets. And we can have 50 cases in a day. And when you bring an extra 28 sets in the night before for a case, that can make a huge impact on a sterile processing service.
Well, walk me through the steps each of you took to improve your facility's loaner delivery process. I mean, who did you need to get involved and just also get buy-in from?
Well, the first thing that we did was we identified, you know, that this is an issue. And then we really said, okay, we need a performance improvement project here in which we are going to get all the important personnel to help make a decision about how to fix this in the first place. So that was, I think, our first step is identifying, number one, that this is a problem, and two, that we needed to get a group together to be able to sort of sit down and put our heads together to figure out how can we make this better. And so that was our step one, you know, is getting together as a group and kind of walking through the process of all. And like I said, it was more than just one thing that was the issue. So getting all the issues laid out on the table, so to speak, and identifying how can we fix all those. As I said, the first thing that happened, and that is obviously, you know, a lot of brainstorming going on with that. In fact, that's where the loaner link idea came from, was through that brainstorming. And somebody had mentioned that. We said, but that's an idea. Certainly from the operative care line side, it certainly has helped. You know, when we implemented the loaner link, it not right away, because it's everything else. It takes time for these things to get into place and to get everybody on board. So.
What we identified in that was nobody knew what all the processes were. And as we got the surgeons and the OR staff and the folks who put the OR schedule together and the MST, the medical surgical the medical supply technicians down in SPS, of which Quentin was a major key in speaking on that, on those processes, and signing in loader sets into SensiTrac and the process for that, and then pulling them through and loading them up in case cards and signing them into the OR scheduling process. And those conversations, we found out that the processes were very disjointed if they connected at all. And nobody knew what all the processes were. And when we laid all the processes out, we found out that there were significant gaps, and just getting them all down on paper and discussing them showed some very interesting challenges, and everybody looked at those, and Dr. Green was very good at facilitating and identifying that there were some roles that folks needed to take, and identifying some responsibilities that could be taken by existing people, as well as identifying that we needed to hire some folks to take on some of these responsibilities and be solely responsible. But LoanerLink, as Dr. Green mentioned, was something that we needed because we did not have a good communication path for ordering the sets. And we also were ordering the sets uniquely for each case. And LunarLink identified an ability that the for a certain case, there was a set and finite number of sets for most of the cases. And that allowed us the opportunity to do a pick list or a more consistent way of doing that. And for Quentin, if you can talk about the savings it helped in the signing in the loaner sets, because that was a painful process for your on your end, and no one knew what that process was.
Yes, sir. Yes. LunarLink was totally a game changer. Before LunarLink, you had to do everything manually. You had to type in the case, the day, doctor, and then you had to actually type in each trade that you actually had to check in. Now, when LunarLink came aboard, oh my God, it was really a game changer, because the OR scheduler, they would put in what case, and then it would go to the respecting vendor, and the vendor would add what trades that he would be dropping off. And he would have a date that they had to be dropped off so he could make his deadline. And when he came to check them in, now we can see in SensorTrack, from LunarLink, once they put the order in and the vendor confirms, it comes over to SensorTrack. And then the person checking in the loaners, you can see the actual order. So the traders are already there. So all you had to do then was verify the count sheets, make sure that everything's there, take pictures of each tray, and make sure, like, every time they drop them off, they bring along the IFU and the count sheet for each tray. And it, like, you know, it saved us countless hours with this new process. It was totally game changer.
How do you think, like, this new process has impacted your staff, especially those who maybe are not in leadership positions? Has that affected them in a unique way?
I think so, because it's a big accountability issue also. If the loaners were not in SensorTrack, like, you know, we'll send them back to the OR and say, hey, what's the issue here or whatever? And it might be emerging case. It depends. But it took the, you know, the actual staff that were checking in the trades, they weren't, you know, like, responsible for it. So beforehand, you know, you really couldn't pinpoint, hey, who checked these in or whatever and stuff like that. But now, if they are, you know, less than 48 hours, they have to get chief of staff approval. And that was a big improvement also, because no one, that was like unheard of. But as far as accountability, it played a big role in that.
For sure.
The one thing it does for those that aren't in leadership position is we, as part of this process, we implemented a midday huddle for the cases on the following day. And now that the OR team, the nursing staff on the OR team, were not aware of the loaner sets that were going to be used in the next day's sets. And now that they have LunarLink capability, and we have this all established with the scheduler, they now know which loaner sets to be looking for. And so the SPS staff who is meeting at that meeting with the OR staff can go through those loaner sets, and then they can validate now whether we have those sets and whether they're reprocessed and ready for those cases the next day. We can also validate with the vendors as they come through to make sure that they have those sets already ready for the days. So we are getting them done earlier, and we're getting them done faster, and there's a lot less pressure on everybody who's processing them and accepting them up in the OR.
Well, what kind of feedback have you found that you're receiving consistently that you could share with the audience? So, I mean, this includes SPD, the OR, basically anyone else involved.
You know, I was going to add on the tail end of that last question you had. The one thing that we're talking about is just loaners, but realize we also have trays on consignment. And so this helped, you know, that also, because you didn't know whether the tray was a consignment tray when we already had in-house or we're bringing loaners in for those. So the vendor helps, say, okay, you have consignment with this, and this is what I'm bringing in. So it helped with that communication process also. So really identified, everything that we have in house and everything that we're bringing in, and as far as the impact on the OR, obviously it was our nursing that played a role, because they're looking at this a week prior. So they're looking at the schedule sooner to identify the instruments they need, because they have to put that loader link information in at least a week prior. So all of that's going on, but that was not happening beforehand. So that's additional stuff that, is beyond the level of the leadership level at the in the OR. There's a better communication process and accountability and knowledge of what's going on a week-to-week basis.
Well, from all of your opinions, just what are some of the must-have SensiTrac reports that you found? Just the must-haves.
I think I can speak to that because I've done the reporting that I think has helped give people the information that they needed throughout this process. And I built a few reports out of the container reports that I've built a report that shows the loaner sets that were received the day before that were less than 48 hours, and made those exception reports that went out to Dr. Green and the other service chiefs, as well as to the chief of the operative care line and to the chief of staff, to show the sets that had been received less than 48 hours. And so they get an email every morning, as well as the chief of SBS, so that they can review those to see if those sets came in for urgent or emergent cases. And initially that was quite a few. And Dr. Green would reply back to me and the chief of SBS with replies saying, yeah, those were for a certain case, and no, we didn't communicate that at the time. I've also run weekly reports on all the loader sets that came in, and I port those over to an Excel spreadsheet that I run a pivot table to show all these sets, and I go through the comments to see if they'd been cleared and okayed by the chief of staff or Dr. Green for urgent or emergent case. And then we run weekly and then monthly reports on that to see our compliance. And as we've demonstrated for the report we sent for the award, that shows our compliance rates, which started out at about 63%, all the way up to this calendar year. We have actually had in calendar year 23, we have had zero sets for non-emergent cases come in less than 48 hours. So those reports have gone in weekly. They go into the medical center director's morning report on Wednesdays, and they discuss those, and the accountability goes back through the operative care line, and the kudos go back as well. And so that's the main reports that we get. And then we report that in our monthly meetings for reusable medical devices and in the operative care line or monthly meetings. And those are held in high esteem as levels of accountability. So those reports, and then I tie in a couple of other reports the number of sets that we use, number of sets we sterilize. So I use sterilization reports, and I use container reports just for this set. And then we use some loaner link reports to see how many of the vendors were receiving and accounting for the reports. And we found early on that a lot of the vendors were not playing and were not using loaner link. And so Dr. Green worked with them to make sure that they were properly using the system.
And then just as a follow-up from that last question, how do you use the information from each of these reports to just find continuous improvements and just keep improving?
Well, it's feedback. If you don't give feedback to people, then they don't know where they're at. And you don't fix things in general. You don't say, we just need to improve on our loaner delivery. You give feedback to individual folks. So at first we had to give feedback to individual surgeons on, and I did that through giving Dr. Green the individual reports on individual surgeons who were ordering things late, and he gave him specifics for him to use. And sometimes it was quite reasonable, and sometimes he had to work with the surgeon to make sure things were ordered correctly. And you can, Dr. Green, you can speak to what you did with that data.
Yeah, it was more frequently, it was actually a vendor rather than a surgeon.
Right.
You. And so then I'd have to go and pull the reps aside for that company and explain to them exactly what they need to do, including if they're not using the loaner link. You know, and sometimes it was a communication process where the loaner link didn't have the new reps, you know, cell phone or email, whatever, you know, for the text that they're supposed to get. So, you know, it was making sure they're up to date with all those things. So really kind of walking each company that was not compliant, pulling them aside and speaking to the reps individually. And that, you know, it just takes time to get through that and get them to understand that this is the way this process is going to work. And we are in a much better place with the vendors. The vendors are actually happier now also with all of this, because it takes all the confusion for them out. And what they know that they're going to receive a text saying, you know, to offer the loaner link to be able to respond. And they're going to get that a week prior. So they've got time to be able to get their stuff in.
This next question is a good bridge to that then, because how has loaner link helped you to work toward policy compliance with your vendor representatives, but also surgeons?
Yeah, as I was kind of alluding to, you know, with the vendors is making sure that, number one, they're all registered in the system. That was another thing of getting them registered and getting them compliant with this. You know, and then we had using the SensorTrack information, you're identifying companies that are not compliant. And so I had to sit down and have long talks with reps about whether they want us to continue using their company. We had to play a little hardball with that to be able to get them to comply with it. It just took, you know, a little bit of effort on that part to be able to get them to understand the importance of this, to make sure that we're getting the instruments in timely.
Well, have you found that kind of your relationships with each of these groups have changed over time, and how so?
No, the vendors have always been, you know, obviously they want us to use their product. So that is always going to be something that's a constant. The question is that, do we want to use their product? And if they're not going to provide the proper services, then we need to figure something out. So in general, though, we've not had any issues with the vendors in general. In fact, if anything, the comments I get from the vendors are that their interaction with SPD is so much better now because there's less confusion. They know what they're bringing in. They're ready for it. They're not surprised, and they're able to check it in quickly. So if anything, I'd say that the whole process has actually helped the vendors in the long run. They didn't like it in the beginning because it was something new. But I think now everyone understands the process, and actually the comments I get from the vendors are they're very content with it. They're very okay with it. Even the concept of the 48 hours, which is, like I said, something only the VA system does, they're still able to comply without an issue because of the way the communication process happens and the ease that they have now in getting that stuff checked in.
So, well, on the flip side of that as well, I mean, how have relations between SPS and the OR changed since the loaner process has been upgraded? Have you seen any changes there?
You know, we've always been working on that. We even have our OR nurses go down and try to help and SPD. So there's always crosstalk back and forth. And that's been something that we, especially as we developed this process and identified that we need better communication, we've been working on that process. We've always done some of that, but I think we've communicated better and more frequently here as we process through. Plus, we've also got, you know, some additional stuff that's helping SPD, you know, for example, in orthopedics, total joints are a very big problem. So we've got some additional help coming from that to the SPD from the OR for helping with processing and stuff of the sort. So we're trying to, and then our nurses are interacting with them and with SPD. So there's a lot of crosstalk that's happening. So if anything, I'd say our communication process has improved. I think there's just, I think for SPD, I would hope is that what they're seeing is they have a better knowledge of what's coming in, and where it's, and what cases it's linked to. Because that was the other problem. They wouldn't know what these loaner trays were for until the case was posted, you know, at 3 o'clock the day before. And still there was questions about whether it belonged or not. So all of that has helped reduce stress and improve the process between the OR and the SPD.
And especially if a case was canceled or moved, we didn't know which case those loaner sets went to. And Quentin, if you can speak to the relationships between the technicians and the vendors, because that has changed since we started this process.
Yes, sir. That has changed greatly. It's like day and night. Because, you know, most vendors, they want to drop their trays off and, you know, check them in and go on their way. Beforehand, they had to, you know, call back and, hey, my order is not in. And it was so many issues. But ever since the OR started putting their orders in loaner lane, like, everything is so much better. The vendors are coming on time. And like Dr. Green said, and Mr. Reese, every day at 1:30, we do an OR schedule, and we go through the cases, and we're looking at loaner lane, and we're looking at sensor track, and we're making sure that they match up. It's a check and balance. Are these trays here? Where are they at now? And with sensor track, it tells you exactly where they are. Are they in a sterilizer? Or they have that been second check? You can check anything about it. Where are they now? And to show that they're in the case quarter already. So everything has been streamlined ever since. So it's really good. The relationships have gotten better and everything.
And that reminds me, there is another report I sent out as an exception report that shows the current location of all the loaner sets that have been checked in. And it shows, I print that out at the beginning of each shift on each day. And that gets emailed to all the SPS staff leadership. And that shows them at 7 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock, and at midnight where the location of each of the loaner sets are.
What would you say to those who are maybe looking to improve the communication pathways? Because we're talking about improving communication between the SPS and OR specifically. Where should they even start?
One thing that would hopefully will make a huge difference, but this is several years down the line, is a direct interface between SensiTrack and the OR scheduling program. Right now, we are not using a system that interfaces between SensiTrack and the OR scheduling program. And so we're not able to use the functions about case scheduling. And when we move to the Cerner project, if we end up moving to the Cerner OR scheduling, we would be able to have a seamless transition from loader link and the case identification all the way through the OR scheduling. But that's several years off, and that would be a major communications flow through. That would be seamless, and that would help everybody considerably. But in the meantime, it's better communication of these cases. And I think we're actually in a pretty good state of communicating these sets going through. Quentin, do you have ideas on how we better communicate?
Our communication is really well now. And as you can see, when I was interrupted, these little voice errors, like everyone in SPS, we wear those now. So like right now with our network issues going on, those voice errors, you still can be reached no matter, you know, where, as long as you're inside of the hospital, you still can be reached. And as far as, you know, relationships with the OR, that has changed too, because we actually have some scrub techs that have competencies to work in prep. So some of them actually come down and peel pack instruments, put together trays, help out with second checks. So it's really working great right now.
I know, I think one of our nurses, Gabe, I think does that on the weekends.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, you know, the other thing that we've already talked about, but, you know, it was important in our decision-making when we decided to acquire LoanerLink, was its ability to communicate with SensaTrek. So that was one of our deciding, part of our decision-making about why to get it in the first place was its ability to communicate with SensaTrek and upload that information so that it then allowed us to be able to take that information to SensaTrek to be able to track that. So that was additional. If it didn't communicate, that would have been a little bit more challenging to have the fluidity that we have right now. So that was an important thing. As Tim had mentioned, you know, all our packaging, the Vista packaging, doesn't communicate with SensaTrek, but the LunarLink does. So that's really our way that we're doing it right now.
As we start wrapping up the podcast here, I have a twofold question. Just, you know, how has this whole process improved the care that you give to your patients? Have you seen any real-time response there? But also just advice. What would you say to other hospitals who are looking to make a drastic process change like your loaner process? What would you say to them?
I would say that integrating your information management systems is ideal if you can do it in a smart way. You have to have a good data information management system to begin with. And SensaTrek is one of those systems that has helped get us there. You need to have good accountability within your system for accurately tracking your information by scanning it, where it goes and where it goes to, so that you know what you're doing. But you have to have good communication throughout the entire system. And I think what we did is what every system should do, and that's integrating both all the customers in the process and laying out those processes so everyone knows what's going on. Whether you link it through an integrated information management system or not, you must lay out those processes so everyone understands how the processes are supposed to work and what their role is in those processes. Without that, you really have no system at all.
Yeah, for the patient care standpoint, obviously I can speak to that. It's not directly to the patient care, but more indirect, because what it's really impacting is the stress in the OR. Because if we are, you know, waiting for a tray to come up because they couldn't find it, or it didn't come on the case cart, that's a delay. Or, you know, so the nurses are scrambling to try to get the case in on time for the first case start, and there's a lot of stress that's related to that, trying to push and people having to run downstairs to try to see if they can find it. I mean, all these things were happening. Now they're just opening up the case cart. So it's much, their stress level's reduced related to that. So it's not direct patient care issue, but it certainly impacts the people that are taking care of the patients.
And that impacts every other case, as that time is spent doing that instead of doing other things in preparation for that.
Yeah.
And every time we spend working on one thing that isn't going correctly, takes away from something else that we should be doing. I don't know how many times Quentin and I can attest to that we have run around SPS looking for a loaner set and going into SensaTrek and not being able to find it, and even finding if it had been delivered, and sometimes finding out that it hadn't even been ordered. And then eventually finding out that it wasn't requested because the doctor had changed his mind and didn't want it because we didn't have a system for tracking that. All kinds of things happened before that, because there really wasn't good communication.
Well, last and final bit of advice then for our listeners. I mean, what would you say to other facilities who want to encourage the same type of teamwork, the dedication, and also relationships that you three have all built and maintained throughout the course of this time? I mean, what kind of advice would you give them?
You know, from my perspective, I think it's from where we started from, and that is you identify that you want to do this, and you have commitment from the groups that you want, and then you want to have this happen. And sitting down as a group and really kind of ironing out what your issues are, and then starting to walk through how you can fix these things. That I think that's true with anything that you do. And obviously we did this for this process and have continued to benefit from it because it's improved not just our function, but also our communication pathways and also sort of the trust in the other group that they have want and desire to make it better. So all of those things are paramount. And it starts in the very beginning with sitting down with folks that are dedicated to the process and for the improvement and making it better.
It does. I used to say that Dr. Green shouldn't even know who the chief of SPS is, but I'm really glad we do because we have improved things that probably wouldn't be improved if we didn't know one another and we didn't integrate all this so well. Because OR and SPS always have challenges that we need each other to work with. And having the surgeons involved and having the chief of the services involved, along with the OR nursing team, has made a difference that I have not seen before. And he's not the only service chief that we've worked well with. There's other service chiefs that have built these types of relationships, and we have made tremendous differences in how we work and in types of improvements. But I'll tell you that I have never seen a performance improvement program that has yielded this type of results in 44 years of nursing and sustained it. And I see no expectation that it will slack off. And it's not personality driven. It is the way that we do things now. And it is a unique and special thing that we are a part of. And I'm very proud of it.
As you should. Well, that wraps up the conversation for today. So thank you to Timothy, Dr. David Green, as well as Quentin LeCour for joining us on today's episode of Consensus. It was a pleasure to have you all on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Of course. And as always, if you want to learn more, please visit census.com and look for this podcast wherever it is you get your podcasts at. I've been your host, Gabrielle. Thanks for tuning in.